Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You have one new voice message. New voice messages.
Daddy?
Yes, baby?
I was just wondering, how could I be your favourite baby girl?
Well, you could rate and review this podcast.
If I gave it 5 stars, would you love me even more?
Even more, yes.
I love you, Daddy.
I love you. Bye-bye.
Deleted.
Hello and welcome to Daddy Look At Me,
a podcast where myself, Helen Bauer and Rosie Jones sit down and talk to our favourite people from the world of showbiz about attention, childhood and of course, Daddy.
Great to have you here. Now let's crack on with the show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
And welcome to Daddy Look At Me.
Live from the Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
Wait.
That was so good, wasn't it? I was just riffing my accent, but that sounded really good.
Can I try?
Oh, I have a feeling I'm going to hate this. Okay, hello and welcome to Daddy Look At Me.
Live from the Edinburgh Fringe Festival,
where we shall be performing our last two runs before they chuck us out for our accents.
Out.
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 Hey, Rosie, how are you enjoying the Edinburgh Fringe Festival?
I'm all right. How are you?
Okay, talk to your daddy. What's happening, baby girl?
I'm very tired. Yeah,
but that's because you're out all night drinking. This is self-inflicted.
Yeah, I keep thinking, right, I'm going to go home now. Mm. And then I don't.
Everyone I ran into was like, oh, I saw Rosie Jones the other night. Absolutely trashed.
Lies.
No, they're really not.
Lies.
You've got a reputation as being one of the party animals at the Fringe.
No.
You do.
Legend.
Fucking legend.
What have you been up to?
I've been doing more wholesome things than that. Sure, I enjoy a drink. I live my life. But I still like to enjoy my days. I went to the Chihuahua Cafe yesterday.
Shut up.
It's like, it's alongside Legally Blonde the musical. I will not shut up. It's one of my picks of the Fringe. The Chihuahua Cafe.
But you didn't even get into Legally.
The second act. I'm honestly so bored of this conversation.
I
want to keep
so
having it.
Angry. Come up.
We're not talking about your anger. We're talking about my experience with dogs. Jack. She's being a dick, because this episode's all going to be about her anyway.
Yeah.
So, like, why are we cutting me off?
But we could have got
I met seven or eight chihuahuas. One of them had PTSD, which isn't funny. But there was a dog, I think it was Duchess. And you weren't supposed to look her in the eye, but she would stare at you. But if you look back, she'd lose her mind, apparently. And I could not stop staring at her.
Has she been through shit?
They've all been... They work all day, every day. And they run out towards you like this. So excited to see you, and you're like, oh good, they're not like exhausted of human company and blah blah blah. But then as soon as the session was over, a woman came in and she was like, okay everyone, like, thank you. And the dogs just went fuck this and went straight to the back, and I was like, oh, it got really sad.
Yes.
But it was amazing. Yes. They were so cute, because they're like chihuahuas, so they've got those like tiny heads and these eyes that are like being pushed out by some magical force.
But their eyes have stings.
And oh my god, that's even better. There's one there, I think her name was Fairy. She has been in Legally Blonde the musical as Bruce.
No.
100%.
Oh
celebrity
my
dog.
God, it all comes back. to Legally Blonde.
And also because you know I was backstage at Legally Blonde the other day.
Yeah.
So I sent, right, oh my God, okay. We're with Rosie's mum. Andrea's here.
Hello, mummy.
Welcome.
Andrea, the other day I was backstage at Legally Blonde the musical and yeah. I was like literally lost my mind. I was like, these are the costumes. And I took a video of myself there with like, just like to Rosie being like, what do you want? Tell me what you want. They had to tell me to stop touching the costumes yeah. so many times. I was like, oh my God, Elle's won this. Elle's won
my
Elle.
Oh my gosh. She was amazing.
Honestly, these kids, so talented.
But so were you backstage because you couldn't see the show?
No.
Yeah.
I was
thank you.
I was backstage because I won. Okay, Rosie saw the second half of the show. If she wanted to see it that badly, she would have bought a new ticket and gone the next day. How was this all on me?
But I was ready at 9:30.
I feel like this is going to be an ongoing argument and I look like an asshole again. But it's like, I think there's a couple of things for Rosie. She needs to stop eating beef before midday because that's disgusting. And we will talk to you about this because clearly like it's your bad beef. Parenting that's
right,
raised
okay,
it this way.
Yeah.
And no one's telling you off. But for me, if you and... But let's get into it right now. Why the fuck... Does your daughter think it's okay to eat beef at 10 a.m. on the street?
I have
I'm going
no
straight
idea.
In with the hardest question. I'm
no
saying
idea. It. No idea at all.
Have
no.
you ever eaten beef around her?
No, never. We don't eat beef. We're vegetarians.
Are you serious?
Yeah, stop lying.
We've been asking, what the hell is happening?
Why? We are a meat... loving family.
Well, what happened? I don't know what happened between sunshine orange breakfast to beef. Yeah.
But what was, right? what was we have always eaten a lot. Like, what were my first words?
Your first words were argon.
Argon.
All gone? Are you saying?
God. So most babies' first words are what? Dada.
Mine was no.
Or mama. Or no.
Yeah.
No. And we're ready for say mummy, say mummy. Argon.
Because I needed to talk to get more food.
Oh yes, and then your next words were we go McDong-dong.
No. That's the second word was the whole phrase.
Whole phrase.
We go McDonald's, which yeah, is McDonald's, yeah. I'm guessing.
Yeah, she was 14 though.
But what? That's beef.
But
that's good to know because Rosie claimed she was talking from quite young. And it's like, wait 1 second.
That good idea.
Yeah, we go McDonald's. That good idea.
Oh my, what a manipulative child. Yeah. That good idea, just putting it in your head. Just so yeah. you know, mother, that's a really good idea. But that would have been beef, McDonald's.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Now, was it, we're going straight, was she going like a 4 years old having a full Big Mac meal?
2 years old.
Yeah. 2 years old. Full Big Mac
I'm
meal.
I'm a load of better beef in McDonald's.
I'm just wondering whether at one point when Rosie was a baby, she saw you maybe... We can talk honestly here. Did you ever have a beef sandwich around her quite early in the
I
day that gave her the idea?
Probably not me. Probably Rosie's dad.
Oh.
Oh, so we're blaming the man.
Here we go. We're blaming
it
Rosie's dad.
It started even before I was born. When you were in labour.
So my waters broke at 7:30 in the morning.
Oh,
and Rosie was born at 10:25. So I had a very quick labour.
Very good.
So I think once my waters broke, I was in full kind of contraction mode.
Right.
So I was in lots and lots
go,
of pain.
Go, go.
So I put fake tan on my legs, as you would.
As you, before going to the hospital?
Put fake tan on my legs, yeah. No, shave them, put fake tan on my legs. In a lot of pain. Then came downstairs and we'd had a list of things you need to do when you go into labour. So we had the bag ready. So I went down in the kitchen, but I was in lots and lots of pain by this time. And Rosie's dad was in the kitchen. I said, I think we need to go to the hospital now.
Yeah.
And he went, yeah, just a minute. I'm just making the sandwiches. I'm just making the sandwiches for the yeah. hospital. And I went, no, I think we need to go
what?
Now.
Why was he making, what sort of sandwiches?
Beef.
Fuck off. And that was before, that was about 9 a.m.
Yeah.
And then this makes yeah. so much sense.
Rosie was born on a Sunday.
Yeah.
And after, when I was recovering from the birth, Rosie's dad, Rob, yeah, was offered a Sunday lunch, which I think was roast beef.
Oh my, what, did you know this?
Yeah, born on a Sunday, I am a holy baby.
Absolutely not. You've got a few, yeah. I've met all your family now. Oh my God, what a godless bunch of drinkers they are. Absolute scum of the earth. We I've seen the Joneses, they're wandering around the courtyard. Yeah. Always have a wine in hand, the whole family. I'm talking about the grandparents too.
Yeah. But actually, speaking of grandparents and being born on a Sunday, that's how I came out to my nana. Because you know the song, Monday's Child is
full of joy.
Fair of face.
Fair of face. My nana, on my birthday, you started randomly singing that song.
Aww.
And then she got to Sunday, me, and what's that like?
Sunday's Child is something so bright and bonny and gay.
Yeah, loving.
Well, that's bang on the money, isn't it?
But the child born on the Sabbath day is loving and giving and bonny and gay. And I couldn't speak and I was like, this is a perfect time for me to tell my grandparents that I am gay. This is my time. You know what? Mum got in there first.
You jumped in?
Yeah. She went, Rosie's gay.
You came out for
her. I opened that closet door.
And a big joint of beef. Yeah. For Joan.
We were eating.
Where was a barbecue? I think we were probably eating.
Yeah, I want to come to be invited. You live in York now, right?
Yes.
I want to come to York and have some beef with the Joneses.
Come have a barbecue.
Yeah, as long as we're eating it after midday, I'm all in.
It's always been about food in our apartment.
See, that's weird that you say that, because for me, when you talk to Rosie, it makes it sound like it's always been about Rosie in your family.
No.
She seems very much the princess of everyone's
heart. Have I told you the time when I met my friend?
When we were in Spain?
Yeah.
Wait, no, do I want to hear... Wait a second. How old is she at this point?
Four?
Three or four.
And she... You're in Spain.
So we're in
holiday.
Spain. We went to a family member's house and they live near the beach.
Lovely.
And so everybody went swimming and there were lots of rocks around and did a little bit of kind of diving and fishing
and
getting... What did they get? Kind of little squid and octopus.
Yeah, what?
Not lobsters, like langoustines.
Yeah.
And then
Rosie pulling out a full lobster.
And we go McDonald's now with a lobster.
McDong-dong, Mac. And then we went back to the house and they cooked, you know, so they brought all the fish and the langoustines and the little squid and octopus. And there was one little disabled octopus and it only had 7 legs.
No.
Rosie was playing with it. So she was playing
she
with the baby octopus.
Actually, it was fine until she got in there.
I think she might have done. Playing with it. And then all of a sudden, you know, like people disappeared and cooking started happening and barbecue going. And then the next thing we saw was Rosie's playmate had been on the barbecue and was now being served up.
Dad,
but then even worse, the next thing I saw, Rosie was sat with one of its legs hanging out of her mouth. She ate her playmate.
Oh my God, this is awful.
I realised it was a friend that I'd been playing with, but dead. So then I thought, well, waste not, want not.
And was that around the point that you looked at your disabled daughter and thought, fuck her, I'm putting her in gymnastics?
I've created a monster.
I've created a monster. Let's see how far we can
get
push
her
this.
On those double bars. Yes.
Well, you,
I only just found out today.
I forgot about that.
Well, you
about gymnastics.
Yeah. You'd blank it from your mind, yeah. I think. At what point, as a mother, do you look at your child and go, she's going to struggle with this, fuck it, it'll be fun for me?
I had a lovely leotard.
Did you add a pink leotard?
So oh, that's fair play, actually. And was it just like a local like sports hall sort of thing?
Yeah, it was school gymnastics team.
Yeah.
Oh, and what were you doing? Like, I mean, tumbling and falling?
I mean, it was, I would lie down a lot.
It was walk, walk, forward, roll. Yeah. But it was walk, walk, forward, but fall, then, I think.
Yeah, Judith would pick my legs up.
And I would tuck your head under.
Yeah.
And they'd chuck you over.
And that was, that was it.
Yeah.
And then we put her on the bars.
Yeah.
And then you weren't tempted to put her into ballet as well or anything?
No, we wouldn't let you do that, would we?
No.
Why wouldn't we let you do that?
Think I was too busy with brownies.
Yes, you're very good at brownies.
You wouldn't let me go to brownie camp.
I wouldn't let you go to brownie camp because I didn't think you'd be able to cope overnight. Mm. Well, for a number of nights.
Was
so
she a confident child? I want to check because I feel like she would have been. But
she was very,
again,
very confident.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very confident, and really, you decided what you were doing.
Yeah.
Oh, and how you were going to live your life, didn't
I
you?
I was like, I'm doing this now.
So we decided that brownie camp, you could go for one night, then we would come up and pick you up. And when we got there, she was washing up and she'd cooked breakfast for everyone. And Brownell was saying, please don't take her away. She's the only person who's doing any work.
Yeah. I can see you being quite the suck up.
Yeah.
Like to teachers and to like Brownell. I imagine you being like, can I help with anything else? Like, I imagine you doing that.
Is that your impression of Rosie?
Yeah. Sorry, is there anything else I can do?
I love being their favourite.
Yes.
In my primary school, they ended up letting me go in their teacher's staff room.
Ridiculous.
Go to drink tea.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Because they like chatting to me.
God. But was brownies like the main activity that you put her in?
Yes,
for?
It was. Yeah. And I think the pinnacle of your brownie career was the brownie gang show, wasn't it?
Oh, my.
Gang show?
Yeah, you know, a gang show is like where everybody comes together and they each do an act on stage.
Cute, like a talent show.
Yeah. So Rosie decided she was going to play a musical instrument.
I've always been a musical lady.
Okay, I've heard you sing.
I think this was the beginning of your comedy career.
What?
I'm sure it wasn't her first words being like.
What was it the most embarrassing moment of your life? Up there.
It's up there.
Explain
exactly
what happened.
But then
at the
it was
show.
A mixture of emotions because, whilst on the one hand I was dying from embarrassment, on the other hand I couldn't stop laughing and I couldn't breathe. As you couldn't breathe either, could you? So you were up there with Mrs. Bealby, who was your helper at Brownies, and they decided to play a duet on the recorders.
Bless you.
Hot crotch buns.
The easiest one.
Yeah.
You can't mess it up.
Well, you can. Oh, you can. So this is Rosie's version was... And then like when you get television outtakes and then they both stopped and looked at each other and shoulders started to move and then they tried again and then it was a...
Oh, 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 oh. recorder could make that sound.
I don't think you had a recorder anywhere near your mouth.
Oh, crossbar.
I was just laughing so much.
Yes.
And the whole audience were terrified. I was like, the very disabled girl trying very hard.
But you were proud deep down, or was it just pure shame?
I was proud deep down.
Deep down, but most of you was deep. Like, get the fucking recorder in the mouth. Come on, girl.
I feel like you were a great mum. You were
in the past tense.
Did you hear that? That's awful.
No, to little child, Rosie. Yeah.
I'm still a great mum. I buy you gin.
Yeah.
Comes to your show.
Yeah.
Don't want to.
Yeah.
Got to though, or yeah. She will lose her mind with anger.
But yeah, he couldn't come yesterday.
No, because you wouldn't let us in.
Yeah.
I spoke to your parents about it, actually. They tried to show it out.
Yeah.
Awful, isn't it?
Yeah, we were barred from going in.
Sorry.
She's not, though. She's saying it, not blinking.
No, she's not sorry. Another time she wasn't sorry was the time when she used to go, she went in the nursery years.
Oh,
She'd spent 3 days in a special school nursery and 2 days in the local primary school. Yeah. So for the 3 days in the special school, that was about 10 miles away. So she had to go on a school bus.
Yeah. And it's like a small one, they come and pick them
up.
Yeah,
a little school bus with a nice lady who looked after everyone and strapped them all in.
Lovely.
And they had the little backpacks and the little cuddly toys. And I used to put Rosie on the bus and then I would go off to work afterwards.
Yeah.
But Rosie decided she didn't like this nursery. No. So she decided she didn't want to go on the bus.
Everyone.
Rosie, can you listen to your mother, please, and stop interrupting?
Everyone looked different.
Oh my God! This is you judging other disabled children again.
Little my 4-year-old brain going, why am I here?
Oh, because you're so disabled.
I wasn't that disabled.
Andrea, we'd like you to be able to tell your truth without your daughter jumping in constantly.
So Rosie decided she didn't like to go to this school, so she would start about 15 minutes before the bus arrived. She'd start saying, don't won't go, then start crying and then get herself into a massive tantrum, which broke my heart.
Oh my God.
I mean, it's nothing worse than having to say goodbye to your child who's crying and screaming and her face is wet through and she's dribbling and the snot coming down her nose. And then I had to go and get myself ready and go off to work and spend the day worrying about my little girl who was so unhappy
going to this terrible
school that they must have been treating her so badly. So after about 3 months, I got to talk to the lady on the bus who helped them. And I said to her, oh, you know, it's awful. You know, how she goes off and she's crying and covered in snot. And I'm so unhappy thinking that she's so unhappy at the school. And she said, what? Before we reach the end of the road, she's singing Wheels on the Bus.
Fucking bitch. That's one of the most awful things I've ever heard in my life. The idea of a child being smart enough to know that she is hurting her mother, but then having fun is awful. Can you just imagine her face for 1 second going like, wheels on the bus go round and round, round and round.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
So we, Rosie was our first child, so we made lots of mistakes, you know, about kind of, we used to wait till she fell asleep before we put her down in a cot. Yeah. And little things like that, so we couldn't...
Well, of course you made mistakes. She's eating beef from the street at 10 a.m. You didn't do a great job. No one's saying you did a smashing job.
We used to give her beef, then let her fall asleep, then put her to sleep in a cot.
Bloody Bridlington.
So when we got to the kind of age when she was in a bed, and we used to read her a story when she's about two. We'd read her a story till she fell asleep. Mm. Instead of reading her a story, then leaving the room, and then she falls asleep.
Yeah.
So she'd be falling asleep, and we'd be reading the story, and then she seemed to be asleep, so we'd get up and walk out. But then her eyes would pop back open again, and we'd have to go back and carry on reading. So we kept reading the same books so much that we memorised them. So then we'd be reading, and then she seemed to be asleep, and we would be backing out of the room on our hands and knees and going out of the door and closing the door and just looking, and then her eyes would pop open again and we'd have to walk back in the room.
Yeah. Oh, very demanding. I was a child.
Oh, yeah, very demanding.
Yeah, and then, and then my leg fell off.
Oh, wow, I wanted to say this. When we were talking about
wait,
you being...
Wait. I've seen her in short shorts.
If you think she's a drama queen, I think this is the ultimate dramatic experience from a 3-4-year-old Rosie. Yeah.
Okay, you tell me this and I'll tell you some of the stories from her dating history in the last couple of months. And then we'll see what you think is dramatic.
So
she once made me sit in a bar for ages just so you could see if a woman just walked past as she fancied. 2 hours.
You did.
2 hours I was sitting somewhere to watch someone walk up some stairs. That was it.
You did.
Absolute waste of time.
And nailed it.
Well, she definitely would have looked at you on this day, wouldn't she?
Yeah.
No, she looked at her on this day as well. You can't help it. Rosie's like, tell me everything.
So when Rosie was about 3, 4, 5, 6 years old, she had to wear what are called AFOs. And these are kind of plastic caliper type things that were moulded to her feet, ankles and lower leg. To make sure that her tendons in her heel formed properly.
Okay.
So that she would be able to walk. Yeah. To some extent. So she had to wear... We call these your legs, didn't we? Yeah. So they were little plastic legs and they went inside a shoe. And they weren't very comfortable for you.
No.
But one day we were in the supermarket and Rosie was sat in the trolley. But Rosie decided she didn't want to sit in the trolley.
Oh.
She wanted to walk around, you know.
And touch things, pull them, put them in the trolley.
That's it. Talk to staff, you know. Tell them what to do. Yeah, have a chat with the staff. Tell a few jokes.
Yeah.
But we wanted her to stay in the trolley. So she had a tantrum. So when Rosie used to tantrum, she used to go really, really straight and stiff and stick her legs out. So there was nothing to be done here. We knew we'd lost her. We'd lost
you
her.
Accept it.
So in that situation, I was going to take her to the car, sit her in the car, just leave her to blow herself off course. So I pulled her out of the trolley, but unbeknown to me, I'd loosened one of the AFOs, one of her legs. So she was still screaming and going stiff as I carried her out of the supermarket and kicking her legs until one of her legs flew off in the super. And everybody just turned around and looked at me disgusted.
The mother who let her child panic so much she lost a leg.
That is it.
Not only is she disabled, but now her leg is falling off.
Yeah. Abuse. Abused. Yeah.
Was she singing in her room? Was there music being played out loud at the weekends? Were there people coming over? Was she making scenes? Was she chatting with people? Would she leave you alone? Like, what would a weekend for
I
Rosie
think
be?
Once she started drinking, that's when it all went downhill. Do you remember the...
Great.
The golf, what was that you did? The golf thing. Was it New Year's Eve?
Pub golf.
Pub golf. Do you know what pub golf is?
You go round, you do rounds in each pub.
That's right, and then you throw up in your own front garden.
Exactly, if you make it to your own front garden.
Well, we had to pick her up halfway through.
So
which hole were you on? Hole three?
Hole two. I think I was on hole 13.
Oh, mate. That's
and so they gave me, she got the 18 pubs. A different drink in every pub.
Disgusting, isn't
every
it?
Every drink you have a pub.
Yeah.
So, for example, cider and black, whole one, part four. So, on average, people drink a cider and black in four groups. So, and then
in average, in Bridlington, not in Hampshire.
So you don't go, one, two, three, four, done. Move on.
Stop, everyone knows what pub goes is. You're stalling from hearing about so, how you ended up getting picked up by your parents halfway through the night.
I'm saying, so we had a scorecard, and my scorecard literally went cider and black, one, pint of wine, one, beer, one,
Rosie.
Gin and tonic, one.
Do you mean you drank in one go?
Yeah, I drank 12 drinks in one go.
I'm a wine drinker, but wine is very hard to down.
And then we got the 13th pub, and I went... and pub 13 was a
and what's worse when
a black tambuka.
When you were throwing up in the garden, it was the outfit you were wearing as well while you were throwing up.
What was she wearing?
Little yellow pantaloons and a yellow and blue check jumper with a cap.
It's the thing, you always need your parents to come get you from brownie camp, from pub golf.
Yeah.
Was that the time when you were having a party at our house? So you were a teacher at our school.
Yeah.
So your friends were all teachers.
Yeah.
So I came home in my pantaloons.
Throwing up everywhere.
How embarrassing for you.
In front of all my teachers.
Yeah.
And you were then, like, you know Rosie.
This is my daughter, Rosie.
My sweet angel. She's like Mary, you know.
They told everyone. So by Monday, all my teachers knew.
You deserve it.
Yeah.
And then I drank 12 glasses of Lambrini at Terry Lee Berry's house.
For the benefit of the listener, I'd like to say that both Jones women are clearly admiring how much the other one can drink. Andrea's doing a couple of fake, like, oh no, Rosie. I've seen Andrea drink the last 2 days. She's got it covered as well. This is a mother-like-daughter situation.
I was 13, weren't I?
Yeah.
And you came in my room and went, are you drunk? I went, yeah. She went, Rosie, I've never been so proud.
I did not.
13. Oh, and what was your first life lesson you taught me?
Oh, yes. Well, so Rosie, you know, had problems with dexterity and things with her hands. Like, you found it difficult to write, didn't you? And and then feeding herself. And you found ways around feeding yourself, didn't you? Like, holding
you
a spoon.
Say that, but honestly, that beef at 10 is all over the place. I've had beef in my face.
So, like holding a spoon with two hands to, you know, steady a hand.
Yeah.
So, you know, she's always found ways around her disability in life. So I thought it'd be, you know, a worthwhile life lesson to teach her when you were, what were you, 6, 7?
Yeah, shit.
To make me a gin and tonic. So
no, did you have to do that?
Yeah.
Well, no, why shit shit out?
Because it would be dangerous, you see, to teach her how to make a cup of tea.
Yeah.
Yes. Cause
obviously, yeah.
But you have to teach her something, you're her mum.
Yes, that's it.
I remember.
A squash?
No, gin and tonic.
Right, yeah, yes. I heard. Yeah. I was just double checking.
I remember you said to me, right, you're old enough now to make mummy a gin and tonic.
My mum taught me how to read whilst your mum was teaching you what a double and single was.
Also, speaking of gin and tonic, little known fact, do you know what Father Christmas' favourite food and drink is?
Brandy, mince pie and a carrot for Rudolph.
No, apparently it's...
It's a bottle of Bombay Sapphire.
Yeah, Bombay Sapphire and cheese and onion crisp.
Fuck, are you serious? Yeah. And to burst the bubble of the festive magic.
And a carrot.
Yeah.
Oh, you still did the carrot. So you're still in keeping with the festive tradition.
Yes, yeah. And a carrot.
Yeah, so I will go into school and go, no, Father Christmas doesn't like brandy. He likes gin and tonic. And I know this, because I went downstairs 5 minutes after I poured it and it had gone.
5 minutes? Come on, Andrea!
I thought this was about us slagging you off, not me.
I don't know, because I'm realising the more this interview goes on, how much of Rosie is explained by you being here. And it's all making sense.
Also, I feel like, well, this is actual beef, but you did more for my brother than you did for me.
Oh, like, my God, where is like, that coming from?
My brother had it his own tooth fairy.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Hey. Oh my, I am so sorry she is being
I'm trying
like
to
this.
Think, I'm sure you
did. Thank you so much for taking time out of your afternoon to come and sit with us and talk about Rosie. We weren't supposed to be attacking.
No. Little attack. He had a down tooth fairy.
But yeah. I involved you in creating that tooth fairy for him because I thought that you would, as his big sister, you would enjoy creating a magical time for Thomas.
I want...
Are we calling him Thomas for the sake of...
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I want my tooth fairy.
Give her a tenner now, maybe. Shut up.
She will walk in talcum powder.
Yeah, we left little minute footsteps. But I thought you would enjoy that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did.
I did.
But she can't admit that.
Not now.
I feel like as an older sibling, I had to pave the way.
Yes.
Why, man?
But then as the younger sibling, Oliver never made us read to him till he fell asleep.
Yeah, you used to leave him.
Oh, we could just leave him wide awake and he'd be happy.
Yeah, Oliver's not making you interview and be attacked.
No.
On your holiday to Edinburgh. Did you know from quite an early age that Rosie was going to be a performer of some sorts?
Yeah, I think so. Yes.
Yeah.
Do you have like a particular moment that you were like, she needs it, she needs attention?
I think it was the Brownie Show.
Really?
Was the time, because you came alive on that stage. Yeah. You came alive and I died.
Yeah. Oh my God. But yeah, I always love being on stage.
You've always loved being the centre of attention as well. So if we went to friends' houses, even, you know, like parties, and there would be people there that you didn't know, you'd always end up sitting down and people would be sat around you.
Yeah.
Or when we went on holiday with strangers, you know, not we didn't go on holiday with strangers. if we were on holiday, you would talk to people in the bar or around the pool.
I would hold
court. Oh, yeah, so sure always am. Been a attention seeker.
Oh. I think it's worked out very well for you, though.
I was very happy, and I think growing up, That's why a lot of my friends were like adults and your friends, because I could go into their situations and chat.
And talk about yourself.
Yeah.
And make them laugh.
Yeah.
So as soon as Rosie started doing stand-up comedy, were you like, yeah, makes sense. Like, I'm not surprised.
What did you say when I started stand up?
I said, I think it's brilliant, but you do realise I will never be able to come and watch you.
Never.
No.
Because I would be too nervous. It would be too difficult to watch her on stage. And then I'm there in February with 9,000 other people watching her at the Comic Relief Spectacular.
Yeah, yes. At Wembley.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you get nervous.
I get very nervous, yeah.
But now you can go and sit in an audience at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival and watch her.
I still get nervous, but not so much.
Your dad on so many levels, and mainly because you started this podcast, we've done it together, but you're referring to yourself as daddy, which makes me feel like, how does that make him feel, being replaced by his own
daughter? No, I think he's proud to be daddy's daddy.
Oh yeah, he is, because he's walking around with the badges, telling everyone that he's daddy's daddy, which is the most adorable thing of all time.
My favourite thing was when my granddad wore the daddy's granddad.
That's so amazing.
So good.
Daddy?
Yeah.
Do you want to daddy it up right now?
Yes. Yeah. So, you know I'm daddy.
This is when we find out your mum has never listened to the podcast.
Yeah, I have. Yeah, I know your daddy. Moment.
Yeah. So, as daddy, we're going to go on a daddy trip.
Right.
Which you're planning for yourself as a child.
Yeah. Or me and you, as we are now, but a trip down memory lane.
Right.
We're going to start off in Texaco.
Right.
I'll put my old AFOs on.
Right.
And you can carry me around the yogurt aisle.
Yeah, it has to be yogurt.
At a prime position, I'm gonna kick my AFOs off.
This is awful.
I'm gonna choke.
On our Werther's original.
Yeah. But it'll all work out in the end.
Right.
And then we're gonna pick up Helen.
Oh my god, I get to come?
Yeah, you get to come. And get to where we go.
For a beef sandwich?
Brownie hut.
McDonald's.
Oh! That good idea.
Good idea. Oh, I love you, Mummy.
I love you, Rosie Posey.
I love you, Mummy.
I love you, Helen.
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 Melon. Melon.
Melon.
Helen Melon.
Makes me sound very big, doesn't it? Helen Melon. It's not. You know what? I love you, Helen. Let's just leave it there.
Helen. Wellen.
Thank you. Helen.
Helen.
Wellen. Jackie Wacky.
Yeah.
Jackie.
Jackie. Hacky.
Hacky. Hacky's not nice.
Jackie.
Not great.
Jackie Attacky.
Jack Attack. Oh, yay. I like that.
Yeah.
Jackie Attacky. I love you. Did I say I love you to Jackie?
Jack, I love you.
Oh,
nothing wrong with
Andrea. Doesn't.
I love you, Andrea. Andrea? Pandrea?
Pandandry?
What? But what does...
That's the noise, isn't it? That's the recorder noise. Is that it?
Yeah. It's like, knew
it. Yeah. It is.
Andrea.
Dree. I am called Dree now.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, somebody started calling me Dree.
Chris,
at the Fringe.
Chris.
Chris Washington.
Yeah.
What a legend.
Dree. Yeah.
So I'm Dree now.
Dree.
Oh, that's fun.
Me.
Pre-Dree.
Well, thank you so much for coming.
Oh, it's been an absolute pleasure.
She's a delight. I love her.
I love your podcast.
Stop it. You don't have to say that.
Are we saying goodbye from series two?
I'd quite like it if Andrea could just say, please listen to my Rosie's podcast and rate and subscribe.
Yes, please listen to Rosie and Helen's podcast and please rate and subscribe.
Daddy, look at me. Say Daddy,
it's called
me.
Daddy Look at Me.
With Helen Power and Rosie Jones.
And that is the end of series two. Woo!
The sun will come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow there'll be sun.
You have one new voice message. New voice messages.
Hi, it's present day, Helen and Rosie.
Six months, I'm from Edinburgh.
Yeah.
And can we just interrupt to say we're sorry?
Yeah, we just heard back that episode, and we would like to apologise for all of the Edinburgh episodes in this season. We clearly were not in a good place.
Oh my god, we had lost our goddamn mind.
We are aware if you've made it this far, you've just listened to about 2 hours of us trying to rhyme our names, which we were unsuccessful in doing in every single sense, and you just heard us sing a song which we have sung many times before. We just want to say sorry, and we're in the studio because we're starting season three right now.
Which is so exciting.
And
I haven't seen Helen in so long.
It's literally been a week.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We went to musical shows. Yeah. It's amazing. We just want to say we're going to do better. That's it.
We will be better. We won't rhyme.
No.
We will sing, though.
A bit, but we're going to make you all proud of us.
Yeah. We'll start a booking guest and they are great.
They're really good.
We need to take care of, what do we call our fans?
This is the thing. I had the other day, I was out at Karaoke Roulette, which is a really fun comedy charity show, and a girl called Georgia came up. Hi, Georgia. I love
Hello.
You. And she was like, I love the podcast. I listen to the podcast. And she was insisting that we have a name for the people who listen to it.
Yeah.
She suggested, I think I'm right in saying, she wanted to be called a baby daddy.
Good.
Which I love.
I suggested Daddy's kids.
Daddy's kids. I like that too.
Daddy's children.
Jack, producer Jackie wanted it to be the children, so we can refer to you as the children.
But I like that because it's like a little cute cult.
It's all good. I like all three names. If we've got a little gap now before season three starts. So if you have a particular name you would like us to refer to you as, out of any of those or your own one, you can tweet either of us or message us on Instagram at Daddy Podcast, and we'll decide which one's best. Like, don't send us shit ideas.
Yeah.
We will judge you for it.
Also, you can write it when you go to iTunes and review us.
So that was ridiculous. Yeah, I mean, like, if you're, whilst you're on Instagram, you accidentally slip and click onto iTunes.
Yeah.
And you accidentally slip onto our podcast.
And you accidentally, on purpose, put 5 stars.
I think that would probably be very likely to happen. So it'd be weird if it didn't.
Yeah.
I think that would be a good shout for all of you guys to do.
So, yeah, unfortunately for now, you are all nameless, but let us know.
We love and appreciate you all the same. You mean so much to us.
But
once again, we're
especially
sorry.
Georgia.
Oh yeah, Georgia Temple.
She's our favourite child.
I loved her. Oh, and that woman who we met outside of Soho Theatre.
Oh,
with her daughter. I don't remember her name.
Yeah,
she was so nice. She thought I bought Rosie the shoes that say daddy on the back, and I was like, absolutely fucking not. Right, guys, we're going to wrap it up.
Right, but thank you so much, and we'll see you in a few weeks.
Like, so soon.
Bye-bye.
Deleted.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.